Welcome back to the Yards After College podcast here on KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app. We are your hosts, as always, presenting you the best in locals in the NFL from the state of Utah. I'm Sam Farnsworth of KSL Channel 5, sports anchor over there. Kyle Ireland, as always, digital sports producer and locals in the NFL insider for KSLSports.com as well. And here we are, another week come and gone in the NFL, Kyle. Halloween weekend. You know, one thing I like about football at Halloween time of year is seeing all the fans dressing up and kind of the themes you see throughout the stadiums. The big question is, have you ever dressed up in a Halloween costume for a sporting event?
I have not. That's actually a really good question. I've never gone to the length of dressing up. And I think it's not the fact that, like, I don't want to, like, be in public like that, because, like, that's fine. I don't really care. I like, some people are like, oh, I'm not going to go out like in a costume, right? Like, that part doesn't bother me at all. It's the comfort. Like, I don't want to, like, be in, like, uncomfortable, like, outfit for, like, 2.5 hours, 3 hours watching
especially
a sporting
if it's cold.
Event. Yeah, and, like, putting a jacket on over, like, a costume. Yeah. Like, I just don't want to deal with that.
You can't. Like, yeah. You can't put a jacket on.
I wore my Halloween costume the other day, and it wasn't, like, very comfortable. Like, I was just, like, straight up. Like, my wife bought me some stuff. She was like, here, you need to throw this on for a picture. And I'm like, okay. So I threw it on. We took the picture. And then I took half of it off because it wasn't comfortable. Like, I'm like, I'm not going to just, like, sit around like this, let alone watch a basketball game or a football game, you know? Have you?
It's Halloween almost. No, I haven't either. But I was just thinking about it. You know, it's Halloween every week in the NFL, pretty much, especially depending on which fan base you're a part of, like the Raiders, right? Yeah. The Raiders fans are amazing. I saw a lot of them up close and personal, the ones that would travel to Denver. Some of those famous Raider fans that you always see on TV, they'd make the trip out to Denver all the time too. There's some regulars in Denver. There's a guy called Orange Vader, dresses like Darth Vader, but it's all orange to every Bronco game. There's this guy that dressed as, I don't know, I can't remember his official title, the Denver Leprechaun or something like that. So there was Barrel Man back in the day. So dressing up as a costume, in a costume to an NFL game, it seems like it makes sense, especially this time of year. But I was kind of chatting with you a little earlier, Kyle, before this podcast began, about there's a fan at every Utah Jazz basketball game during the holidays who dresses as Buddy the Elf. My wife wants me to dress as Buddy the Elf for Halloween this year so she can dress as the girl. I can't remember her name, Jovi or Joe, whatever her name was. Anyway, now I'm thinking I need to go to the Jazz game dressed as Buddy the Elf and sit a couple seats behind this guy that does it every year and just to kind of play games with everyone.
I wish that you would have dressed as Buddy the Elf and you would have been at Mile High yesterday in that freezing cold weather and then seeing how long you wanted to stay as Buddy the Elf. Because, like,
no,
you mentioned these guys in Denver. It's like, if he's going to, like, that to every game, like, sure, it's October right now. Like, it's December 10th. Like, is that guy having a fun time at the Broncos game? Like, you can't be, especially watching that team the last few years. Freezing cold, watching terrible football. I can't imagine doing it, Sam. I'm out on the costumes at sporting events. I'm out.
Well, all right. Good answer. I'm all for it. I just, you know, I've been in this career long enough to know that I don't get to go to games as a fan anymore, so I don't know that I'll ever do it. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. Happy Halloween, everyone. Let's talk some NFL, especially let's talk about our local connections in the NFL every week. I mean, it's just amazing how many people are rising up and doing something in the NFL that went to high school in our state of Utah, that went to college in our state of Utah, but especially these high school guys. Excuse me. That's, you know, before I get to my three stars, I just want to throw out just real quick, like Simi Fehoko, the Brighton High star. He was a Mr. Football here in Utah. And there he is suddenly making a play for the Chargers, getting his first career touchdown. That was pretty cool to see, right?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Actually caught me off guard because he like had been on the practice squad with the Cowboys the last couple of years and kind of bouncing back and forth to active roster. Then he gets picked up by the Steelers earlier this year. And then Steelers only had him for, like, I don't know, a week or two. And then he moves on to the Chargers. And he's gotten some run with them this season through the first 7 weeks of the year. But I was just, it was first quarter. Like, I was not expecting that to be him out there. Like, at the end of the game, when I'm like looking at box scores, it'll be like, oh, like he got some special team snaps or whatever. Like, I was like, whoa, is that Fajoco? Like, he just caught a touchdown on Sunday Night Football. Yeah. That was awesome. So, kind of caught me off guard, but pretty cool.
Yeah, you saw Herbert kind of making his reads through his progression. So, I mean, it wasn't like Fajoco was – that was the target there. But he ran his route. He was there when Herbert looked his way. He made the catch and got in. So, that was really,
really it was cool amazing, too, because it, like – it the way that the route tree kind of went with all those guys, like, it cleared his crossing route out.
Yeah.
So, he was, like, wide open and had a really, like, easy path to the end zone. Like, it honestly, like – it could have been scripted as him being like the number one target on that play based off of how it ended up. So I don't know. Pretty cool. And like he waltzed right into the end zone.
So, you know me, Kyle, I've kind of turned this three stars each week into some honorable mentions and whatnot. It's kind of grown, but I will stick to my three stars. We'll give Simi an honorable mention this week for getting into the end zone for the first time in his career.
I think that's I think that's the first honorable mention that I'll allow. Like,
yeah,
like, oh, it's okay. First career TD. Congrats, Simi.
Yeah, those are those moments you never. He'll have that forever. He scored a touchdown in the NFL, so that's really really cool. But these are the heavy hitters now. These are my three stars of the week, and there's several locals that did enough to be considered as my third star. As my three stars, and I'll kind of preface it with this. As people are listening to this, you might not agree with the order that they're in, but I think who I put at number one, you're not going to expect it again, but at the same time, very deserving. So I'll start with number three.
Third star.
Okay, my third star, Kyle, it's none other than the Weber State Wildcat, Rashid Shaheed. For the New Orleans Saints, you know me, I am all on board the Rashid Shaheed bandwagon. In fact, I might be the conductor of this train, but I picked him, I think, as my breakout local this year or something. I picked him for something in our local preseason picks. I've just been on board with him the way he emerged last year. You know, he's lightning in a bottle. Anytime he gets his hands on the ball, he's got a chance to make some big plays happen and to, you know, get into the end zone. And that's exactly what we have seen him doing throughout this season. And then again on Sunday against the Colts, which by the way, was a game loaded with locals doing stuff, which almost made me want to keep all three of my stars out of that game. But yeah, Rashid Shaheed, three catches, 153 yards. Do the math. That's a 51 yard average per catch. And his longest was 58. So, you know, all three were just long shots, and he got into the end zone on one of those as well. So Rashid just showing off that speed, that athleticism, the ability to make big plays happen when he's got the ball in his hands. And then on top of that, four punts returned for 46 yards, and 11.5 yard punt return average is actually pretty good in the NFL.
It was one of those things, Sam, where I was watching it live and I was torn. I was happy for Rashid, but my gosh, he got behind my team's defense, Sam, and I was like, he's gone, he's so fast, man. And it's, I don't know, that team is so interesting. Like you mentioned, like that game had a ton of local guys in it, and I'm sure you'll mention some here in a little bit, but I just watching that game, I was just blown away by the talent that comes out of this state. And to have a guy come out of Weber like him, like Taron Johnson making a big play on Sunday Night Football a couple of weeks ago. Like, it's amazing that, like, it's not just the BYU and Utah guys or even Utah State with Jordan Love. Like, it's like Weber State, Southern Utah, these high school guys that didn't play college here, but, you know, are, you know, prep players out of the state of Utah. Like, it's just amazing. And it just shows, like, the talent that's here, the coaching that is being done, and to have a guy like Rashid Shaheed, who, I mean, he really kind of came on like midway through his rookie year last year, but now it's like he's like the Saints' number one target, and he's halfway into his second year in the league. Like, right? Like, I mean, they've got Michael Thomas and Taysom Hill and Juwan Johnson. Like, I mean, they've got other guys that can make plays. Alvin Kamara is probably their number one wideout, actually. But, you know, as like as far as a non-running back guy, he's their number one wideout now. And, like, that's pretty crazy to say, because Michael Thomas, like, he was, like, a top three wide receiver, you know, a few years ago when he was healthy. And now Rashid Shaheed, like, it shows that he's not just one of those guys that is fast and, like, ran a good 40 time. Like, he's a complete player. He's a good wide receiver. And I'm excited to see how he continues on.
Okay, so he's my third star. Let's get to number two.
Second star.
Second star. I want to mention really quick, too, Rashid Shaheed. He had a 44-yard catch, which was just an the catch that he made. It was a very athletic play. Going up with other and he comes
double
down
coverage.
And kind of rips it away, right? Rips it away, double coverage. Just amazing. So it's not just the speed, his ability to be able to take the ball away in the air. The guy who threw the ball, that's my second star, Taysom Hill. To see Taysom take a shot downfield when we know he's really not an NFL quarterback anymore. He has the ability to do so, but we know he's not going to be an every down under center guy, probably at any other point through the rest of his career. But to see him take that shot downfield, you see that ball go up in the air and you see the double coverage and you're like, oh dear, what's happening? But Rashid was there. I mean, it was still a good throw. Rashid was there to come down with it. Hill completes a pass for 44 yards. Hill catches a pass for 14 yards. How many times have we seen this throughout his career where he's completed a pass? He's caught a pass and he's rushed the ball. He ran the ball 9 times for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns. Taysom Hill, I think it's been awesome to see him get more and more carries, bulk carries, not just like spot carries, like 4 or 5 carries a game. He's had 9 carries a couple of times this year. And he had 9 on Sunday for 63 yards. Like I said, the 2 touchdowns, a 20-yarder on that first touchdown. And just to see that where Taysom's at in his career, I've been thinking as we've been watching him this season that, you know, maybe in a year or two, things start to fizzle out and it's kind of the end, or maybe he makes a switch. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Taysom Hill, he's got the ability and the skill set to make a switch over to like a safety or something and maybe extend his career 2 more years doing that. I don't know. But to kind of have that mindset that I was having and then see him succeed the way he did on Sunday, it goes to show that he still has enough to be a difference maker in the Saints offense.
I just want to shout out the NFL's instant replay system, because that saved him for your second star, because that thing was ruled an interception, Sam.
Yeah.
It was a pick until they went to the replay. And then they said, no, Rashid Shaheed caught that first before it was ripped away. So congrats to Taysom on a nice completion there. But yeah, I did a little video. You've seen me do it a few times this year. I took a couple week break after I had some surgery, but I did it for the first few weeks of the season, ramped it back up last night, where did a kind of a recap video on Instagram and TikTok. And this week I decided to focus on Taysom because of his game yesterday. But it made me think, because you mentioned all of those stats there. StatMuse kind of put out his like game yesterday as well. And we've always talked about him as like, you know, the Swiss Army knife that he's been nicknamed as. It made me think, it's interesting, like, where is he most effective on the field? Because they've utilized him as like a tight end mainly in the last couple of seasons since Sean Payton left. And he plays like the wildcat, but like he's named up, you know, position wise as a quarterback, but then like he comes in and he's more like a wildcat running back, and he has like 25 rushing touchdowns now. That's where he's gotten his touchdowns this year as well. 3 touchdowns all came rushing, but then they target him sometimes as a receiver or tight end. Like, where do you think he's most effective now? Because I mean, we talked about, or you mentioned how, you know, he's probably not going to play quarterback or whatever, like throwing the ball moving forward in the league, but it's interesting. Like, is he more effective as a receiver or just one of those direct snap wildcat guys? Should they hand the ball off to him like a Kamara kind of a thing? I don't know. It just made me kind of wonder, like, what should the Saints use him as moving forward? Because he really wasn't like super active the first 5-6 mm-hmm. weeks of the season. And then the last couple of weeks, the Saints have ramped up like what his workload has been. I don't know if he was dealing with like a slight, you know, injury or something. They hadn't mentioned anything, but it just made me kind of think, like, where do you think he's most effective?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, because I kind of feel like he would be a really good kind of slot tight end type, you know, but he would be a smaller one for sure in the yeah. NFL. And so maybe you don't get the favorable matchups that you like with like a Travis Kelce or a Kittle or someone like that going up against a strong safety or a linebacker where, you know, you've got the size advantage, sometimes the speed advantage. Now Taysom would definitely have some speed advantages against, you know, a linebacker or, you know, a safety that might come down and cover him in that situation, but he doesn't necessarily have maybe the height advantage or anything like that. But I kind of feel like that might be where his career could extend the most. However, you know, he proved it wrong yesterday that I'm not a big fan of the wildcat type, you know, situational offense in any situation, whether it's college or the pros. But if it works, I guess you got to keep doing it, and it's sure. working in the situations that they're putting Taysom in. So if that's it keeps working,
it's interesting, Sam, because like you mentioned that, but like Alvin Kamara kind of mentioned it yesterday in his postgame remarks as well, where Taysom, they know what's coming and he's still like unstoppable.
Yeah.
It's like the tush exactly. push kind of thing, right? Like where it's like, yeah. although the Commanders did stop the tush push yesterday. But like, yeah. it's like that where it's like, we know that Taysom's going to be the one running the ball here. Like he's in at quarterback, Derek Carr's out of the game. He's on the sidelines. Like I wish that there was a little bit more creativity to how they use him, because right. I feel like that was how Sean Payton used him. And I mean, I think back to like that Thanksgiving Day game a few years ago with Drew Brees and him, where they just both had an awesome game on Thanksgiving, and he was utilized in, you know, pretty much every single way that
yeah.
game.
Yeah.
I think that makes him more fun to watch. I don't know if that's how the Saints want to use him, right? But like, it's just more fun for me. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting from Alvin Kamara, that like, even though you know right now that Taysom's taking the direct snap, he's running the wildcat, not throwing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to stop. So
it is indeed. I would maybe a double pass. We need to get a double pass this year. Carr out to Taysom and let Taysom launch one down to Sheed or something like that. That'd be cool.
Nice.
Well, you know, and I know here I am doing some honorable mentions again, and maybe I don't call him an honorable mention, but since we're talking about this game, Zach Moss deserves a little shout out here, because again, we see another week go by with Jonathan Taylor back in the Colts offense, Jonathan Taylor getting more carries, but Zach Moss being just as productive as Jonathan Taylor. He reeled off a 41-yarder. Taylor had a 42-yarder. Zach Moss did get into the end zone in the game too, so congrats to Zach Moss, but he does not get a star. Take it away. He just gets a pat on the back. The first star goes to this guy.
First star,
and I told you, you probably might be shocked. Maybe shocked isn't the word, but surprised. I'm giving my first star to none other than Seahawks linebacker Bobby Wagner for a couple reasons. Seahawks, here they are suddenly on top of the NFC West. They're leading the division. And who is the heart and soul and center of that defense? It's Bobby Wagner still. Like, how many years is this guy in the NFL? And it's not like he's that old, but he's been in the NFL for a while, especially at his position, and he's still playing at the very top. He ranks fifth in the league in total tackles, 76 total tackles. He's still the menace that he is for opposing offenses. Yesterday, he led his team with 13 tackles in their win. And so shout out to Bobby Wagner, still doing his thing, still doing it at a high level, at a Pro Bowl level. You know, we give a lot of love to Fred Warner, and deservedly so. Fred is becoming what Bobby Wagner once was, but I don't think Bobby Wagner is just moving aside anytime soon. He's still doing a pretty darn good job out there every Sunday.
Hey, first star for me, because I don't ever give them out, so I'm going to give one out here. Those Seahawks uniforms. Bobby looking Bobby looking real good in the throwbacks. Just want to shout out, because those things were nice.
Incorporate that, yeah. That needs to be the regular.
Sam, this is a topic for another podcast. I'm just going to say one sentence and leave it at that. 90%, 95% of all teams in sports should wear their throwbacks as their primaries. That is it. That's all.
Done. That's all. Yeah, 95%. There's a loud 5% in there, though. So
no, that's you give a little room for error, you know. But yeah.
All right.
Well, Sam, those are good three stars. I liked it. I was not expecting your number one star to be Bobby Wagner. I would have expected more like a third or a second star, but I like it. And
I like to surprise the people.
The people, you're giving the people what they want. We had somebody who like complained to us, I think, I don't know, 4 weeks ago or something. I think it was like an Instagram comment on our like locals and then in the NFL recap. And they're like, what about Bobby Wagner? I was like, we had a story up about Bobby this week. Like, it was awesome. Like, he had a good game, you know, like, it's just funny.
We used to get on the TV.
Never please anybody.
No, on the TV side of things, we used to get a lot of heat for Taron Johnson and not having him in locals. And we're like, you're not watching our locals because he's in there. It's like, look, if he has two tackles in a game, are we supposed to spend 30 seconds on him? No, but we do mention that he had two tackles. And look, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He is outstanding, but yes. Hey, you know what? I invite the listeners. I invite the viewers to chime in. Tell us who we need to give more love to. Tell us who's deserving of the recognition on locals in the NFL, because I would love to share some of that love. So go ahead, spout it, you know, shout it out at me. If you disagree with me, I want to hear it.
I like it. Sam, I feel like we should mention a few other guys before we move on to next week. What do you think about Thursday Night Football with Dalton Kincaid? How about that? Another guy with his first career touchdown.
Awesome. It's been a little bit coming, and you know, seeing, I was talking about how happy Simi Fehoko looked after his touchdown. Dalton, when he jumped up into the crowd, like, he had the biggest grin on his face. His eyes were like shut so tight because he's smiling so big. I mean, he deserves it. And you know that the stars are aligning, the dominoes are lining up for his career to be a nice, long, and successful one. So congrats for him getting into the end zone, because, and you know, and this is a guy who's going to be playing in the postseason, probably, right? And so on a good team, good for him.
Yeah, a couple other guys, and I watched a clip the other day, and it was from NBC's Pro Football Talk. It was Mike Florio and Peter King talking about Zach Wilson and Jordan Love. And it's funny because we talked about it, I want to say 2 weeks ago, but we mentioned about how those guys are kind of mentioned, you know, in the same breath, about how like guys coming in having high expectations for the situations they're in, but not necessarily being given the time. And it was interesting because they kind of had a similar discussion to what we had talked about, where, you know, last week you were like talking about Jordan Love and people wanting to write him off halfway through his first year as a starter. And Peter King was like giving the Jets credit for kind of sticking with Zach Wilson. And I was like, well, yes, but they also kind of like, they had no other option this year. They kind of had to stick with Zach Wilson, but it's interesting because that Jets game was ugly yesterday, but when it mattered most, Zach Wilson made two great throws back to back, got the team into field goal position, clocked the ball, 1 second left. They make field goal, go to overtime, stop the Giants, get the ball back, kick a game winning field goal. All of a sudden, Jets have won three in a row. Zach Wilson is their starting quarterback. Like, they're 4-3 now. They are in position where, hey, Aaron Rodgers could come back postseason. I mean, like, they still have everything in front of them in a really tough division. So just, it's amazing what a little bit of patience does with these guys.
Yeah.
And so with Jordan Love kind of in a little bit of a slump right now, he really struggled to finish drives yesterday, especially in the fourth quarter. They turned the ball over on downs in three of their, in their last three possessions, actually. And then he only had one touchdown pass earlier in the game. But I want to just say, it's a little cautionary tale to these teams, right? Like, let's not write everybody off. And what they brought up as an example, Peter King and Mike Florio mentioned Terry Bradshaw, and they brought up his first 5 years as a quarterback for the Steelers. And I want to say it was the first five seasons. It may have been four, but he threw like 41 touchdown passes, something like that, and 70 something interceptions in his first 5 years as a quarterback. And then switch flips, he becomes a Hall of Fame quarterback, wins four Super Bowls, right? Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Zach Wilson or Jordan Love are going to be Terry Bradshaw and Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but like they mentioned on their podcast, and I think it's worth reiterating, like, Zach Wilson has shown competence at the position the last few weeks after he kind of got his feet underneath him after the chaos that was the first, you know, 3 weeks of the season for the Jets. And I think that we need to have that same kind of thing with Jordan Love. Let's let it play out a little bit. Many people are quick to, and it's, I really think it's social media. Like, social media is the driving force of it. It's negative
100%
energy. And Jordan Love does some good things. He's not quite there yet. That's okay.
Right.
He's a first year starter. So
patience is greatly undervalued. And you know, it's unfortunate, because there was a lot more of it back in the day. And I think you're 100% right. Social media, the general media, all of those things put a light and a pressure on teams to succeed a lot quicker. And so the patience goes away. And so there's quick changes. You see it in coaching staffs all the time. You see it at the quarterback position all the time. And there needs to be a little more of it. And especially for a franchise, like when I think of the Jets, for a franchise that hasn't been great for that long, what's another couple of years? Be patient. And I know you want to fix something, and when you had Aaron Rodgers in, I get it. But look, come for the three stars, stay for the Zach Wilson hot take. Here we go. I have kind of two sides to this. Zach Wilson, whatever it is and however you're going to do it, he's got to get out of his own head when it comes to it. And I think we're seeing that. But you pointed out those two passes that he had at the end of regulation. Amazing plays. He was quick. Great throws. Those were the throws we saw during pro day. Those were the throws we saw at BYU all the time. Why? Because he didn't have time to think about it. He had to get up there, snap the ball, and make a friggin' play. You know, he had to go and do that. And he did it. And he was awesome. And they hurried up to the line. They were able to get the ball spiked with enough time to get the field goal, which we didn't see a few weeks ago when they were trying to spike the ball. That, you know,
yeah, he's learning.
He's showing progress. We're seeing it. That is outstanding. Stick with it. Somehow, I don't know how you do it with the coaching or with Zach himself, but somehow get him out of his head and just let him rip too, right? Just let him go out there and play the way he plays football. Now, my other take has a lot less to do with Zach and a lot more to do with Zach Wilson fans. And I know I might tick some people off. Come at me. I don't care. But I'm tired of seeing the apologists out there for Zach Wilson too. There's one fan in particular I saw on social media who is like, just, you know, after Zach made those passes, was just all, this is, you know, everyone's saying he's garbage. I'm like, well, okay, go back and watch the first 58 minutes of that game and tell me how Zach Wilson was. He wasn't great, right? Or however many minutes, whatever. But I am not bagging on Zach either. It's like, look, I want to be as real as possible. He's not that good of a quarterback yet. I'll throw that word in there, because I still believe he has the skill set and the tools to be a good NFL quarterback.
Right.
It's just going to take
time. It's those flashes that you see that, like, where you're like, as he continues to put more and more of those on film, like, it's piecing it together where it's like those two throws back to back, getting them into field goal position, clocking the ball in time, like all that stuff. Like, when you see those things being put together, it gives you the confidence that, like, it's a progression. He's continuing to build off it, as opposed to being like, wow, here's one awesome throw, and then he throws three more of them and they're all picked off, right? Like, it's like, you can't have the two steps forward, one step back. It needs to be like three, four, five steps forward, one step back. You can still have some of those mistakes, but yeah, it was interesting. I did think it was funny, because I know we're running long on Zach here, but I do think it's worth mentioning. He has had a number of drops this year, and especially in that game too. He had quite a few receivers drop passes that I thought were catchable. Yeah. And that's something where fans don't necessarily, you know, see it after the fact. Right. Like maybe in the moment they see, oh yeah, the receiver should have caught that ball. But then at the end of the game, it's like, oh my gosh, Zach Wilson was like 47% completion rate today. Well, yeah, you see that on the box score. Everybody that didn't watch the game that looks at the box score sees that and is like, my gosh, Zach had a terrible game. And like, was it great? No. But at the end of the day, like when the coaches are looking at it, when the film study is happening in the Jets facility, they're taking those things into account, which I think is something that's worthwhile, is where it's like, okay, their scope of what they're looking at with Zach is greater than what the average fan is looking at on the TV screen. So
yeah, I agree.
Just thought I'd bring up.
I'm gonna shift our momentum forward here. I'm gonna ask you a question here, Kyle. Two questions. Do the Vikings start Jaren Hall, and should they start Jaren Hall? That's two different questions.
How about we take a quick break and then I'll come back and answer
that. Yes. Yes. All right, welcome back to the Yards After College podcast here with Kyle Ireland and Sam Farnsworth at KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app. We left you just before the break with a question, Kyle, a two-part question, because yesterday, Sunday, we saw the Kirk Cousins, the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, go down with an Achilles tear. He is done for the year. It's unfortunate. I've loved watching Kirk Cousins play this year. It's been fun to see him emerge. He's having the best year of his career. But with him down, the doorway opens for one of our locals, Spanish Fork, Utah native, Maple Mountain High School. He's from Spanish Fork, BYU. It's Jaren Hall. This is what we're getting at. And the door is open there, but the question now becomes, and it's a two-parter from me to you, Kyle, should the Vikings go with Jaren Hall? The first question is, will they go with Jaren Hall this week? And the second question is, should they go with Jaren Hall?
Tish, I don't know how to answer either one of those. And I feel like I would like this podcast to be recorded on Wednesday instead of Monday, so that way the trade deadline
so we know
would be passed. So that way I would know for sure. I saw, I won't give it out there because I don't think he's a reputable NFL reporter, but I did see some stuff floated on social media that the Vikings might try to go after like a guy like Jameis Winston from the Saints.
Interesting.
I don't necessarily like disagree with the take. I just don't think that the sourcing from what I've seen in the past from this person is reputable, but I wouldn't be shocked if that's something that like the Vikings are exploring. Now, going back to your question, I think that yes, they will go with Jaren Hall this week. Moving forward, are we talking through the end of this season, or are we talking going into next year? Because Kirk Cousins was in the last year of his deal this year.
Right.
And so it was either going to be after this season, we're re-signing Kirk, or we're moving ahead, looking towards the future with a guy like Jaren Hall or somebody else. So I think, I guess it depends on which one of those you're looking at. Like you said, Kirk was having an awesome year. So like, do they say it's interesting, because it's not like an Aaron Rodgers situation, right, where he's under contract for next year. So it's like, oh, if Aaron Rodgers wants to play, like the Jets are going to play Aaron Rodgers next year, where Kirk is not going to be, you know, under contract when it comes to March. And so I think that what makes it difficult is the Vikings had a really slow start, and now they're looking to be like in a position where they could fight for the division or a wild card, you know, playoff spot. I would like to see what Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings coaching staff has seen from Jaren Hall in training camp and throughout the first 8 weeks of the season, because that would give me a better idea of if Jaren was ready. Because if you asked me this question in August, I would say no. But I don't know. Maybe Jaren is ready. Jaren's a really mature player. We saw that at BYU. Even in his post-game remarks yesterday, like, he talks like a guy who's been in the league for 5 years, yeah. right? He's just yeah. super mature. He's got a good head on him. And so I would like to see Jaren Hall get some time this next week. I think he'll start just based off of the fact that even if you bring in a new quarterback, right. I think Sean Mannion is their other quarterback that's healthy on the yes. roster right now. He's on their practice squad, so they'll probably elevate him. He'll be their backup. Nick Mullins, Kevin O'Connell was saying, is, you know, going to come back off of IR. I think he's got 2 weeks left on IR.
Week 10. And then, yeah, week yeah, 10.
We'll see what things look like as far as his injury and coming back. If, you know, because you don't necessarily have to come back after the four games, right? Like, you could be on IR right. for the rest of the year. So we'll see yeah. what they do with that. I will say, and you put this out on social media as well, mm-hmm. I think that the Vikings will bring in another quarterback this week,
mm-hmm.
but they're going to roll with Jaren against, I don't even know who they play this week. I didn't even look at the schedule yet. So in week 9, Jaren Hall is going to get the start. I 100% believe that, but I don't know. I can't answer the second question until I know what yeah, Wednesday gotcha. Looks like, Sam.
Yeah, so they're facing the Falcons at Atlanta. I think, you know, I think that's a good matchup to bring in a guy like Jaren to give him an opportunity. So here's the thing. This is what I look at when I think of the Vikings roster. Had Nick Mullins not gotten hurt and been put on IR, Jaren would still be the number three quarterback on this roster. Yep. It's not saying that he's not good enough, or it's maybe not even saying that he's not ready yet, but it shows a lot of what the Vikings think of Jaren, that maybe he's not ready yet, that they're developing him. They had enough confidence in him to elevate him to number two, QB2 behind Kirk Cousins, when Nick Mullins went on IR without having to go and seek somewhere else to add another quarterback. So they had that confidence in him, and they should. He was a fifth round pick. You know, that yeah. you gotta have confidence in the guy. But I just don't know that he's quite there yet. So, and my big concern for Jaren is that you don't want to ruin him by throwing him out too soon. I'm sure Jaren feels ready. I'm sure he wants to go out there and play.
Yeah.
But if the coaches feel like he's not quite there yet, I would rather, as a Minnesota Viking, if I'm a Minnesota Vikings fan, I would rather them go out and sign a veteran and bring him in and start him this week already to kind of save Jaren from going out there and becoming a head case or something like that. You know, I don't want that to happen to a guy who's got enough skills and talent to potentially become a starting quarterback someday. O'Connell today in his press remarks did say that he wanted, when Jaren was in the game, it was primarily a situation where they were going to run the ball, but he sure. called pass plays because he wanted to let Jaren play the quarterback position, but he also kind of wanted to get a look at how he handled some of those plays. And he said that he already got feedback from guys in the huddle. So we're talking Jaren's teammates saying that he was outstanding calling plays, cadence, snap counts, center quarterback exchange, all those things. According to his teammates in the huddle, they all felt like he was doing very well at that. So that says a lot. His teammates are confident in him. They trust him. We'll just see if he's ready to be a starter. I'm okay with him sitting if he needs to sit for a little bit longer. I'm okay with that. But do I selfishly want to see Jaren Hall start an NFL game? Yes, 100%. I want to see him go out there and see what he can do. And maybe he can really, you know, light the world on fire.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on there. It's a harsh reality when you get thrust into a game and all of a sudden everything's coming at you. I mean, granted, like, it was good that they had a 2-touchdown lead. They were just trying to ice the game away. I think that, like, that's better mm-hmm. to come in that situation than being down 2 touchdowns and trying to make something happen. But you saw he got stripped of the ball, you know, on the third snap that he was in, and it's like,
yeah,
oh, okay, like, that's I feel like because they were able to win the game, it was kind of already in hand. Like, that's a good, it's easier to learn from mistakes when you win, right, than to have those mistakes come in a loss. So I think that that's
he had this one pass over the middle. I can't remember who he threw it to. It might have been Hockenson, is that their tight end?
Yeah, that was on that? That was on his second possession. Yeah,
right. And what impressed me about that one pass was they were backed up against their own goal line, and just watching Jaron hang in the pocket formed around him. He stood up in the pocket, stood tall, even though he's right there at his goal line, and then he made a good throw. That impressed me, because a rookie quarterback could get flustered pretty easily when he's seen defenders starting to fall all around him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, Sam, before we talk about next week, because I do want to see if that's the game of the week that you want to pick, but I want to start a new segment with you. And I think we're just going to call it Kyle's Fun Stat of the Week, because that's got a nice ring to it, right? And this week,
KFSW.
Yeah, this week for KFSW.
It's like an old it's like an old radio station.
I love it. This week for Kyle's Fun Stat of the Week, we're going to go give a little shout out to at Cougar Stats on X, Twitter, whatever we're calling it. BYU fans, I'm sure, are familiar with this account, but during the games yesterday, I happened to see something come across my BYU list that I have set up, and I thought it was a good stat. And so shout out to Cougar Stats for this. But Sam, did you know that yesterday in week 8 was the first time since 1996, week 16, that 3 BYU quarterbacks attempted a pass in the NFL? Same week.
Impressive.
First time in, you know, what is that? Almost 30 years. Crazy. Craziness. So, who are the three quarterbacks?
I think I know the answer, but
give them to me.
Well, so 1996, it's clearly Steve Young, clearly, right? With the 49ers
Young,
in his
Steve
heyday,
Young.
In his prime.
Yes, Steve Young is one.
I would like to say Ty Detmer.
Ty Detmer is the second one.
Was
You're
he on
roll.
The Eagles? Does it say who he was with? I feel like he was on the Eagles at the time.
I should have looked this up. I will look it up.
That's
I'll look
right.
It up right.
Okay.
I'll look it up right now while you're guessing the second, or sorry, the third one.
Well, the third one, and I think I know what team he might have been on too. Okay, the third one is going to be Jim McMahon, and I want to say he was on the Vikings at the time.
So,
which would be kind of cool, because that's where Jaron was at. But
Jim
McMahon was a backup by then.
He is the third, and he was not with the Vikings in 96. But you were correct. You were correct.
Well, he wasn't on the
You were correct with the
was
Eagles,
with the Eagles?
And Ty Detmer. Yep, he was on the Eagles
okay.
in 96. In 96,
so
this was Jim's last year. Yep, last year with Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Very cool. I know he was
there
a backup with the Eagles. I feel like he was a backup with the Vikings. Green Bay. All right, cool.
Anyway,
I like
so
the stat, Kyle.
Yeah, there's
KFSW.
The fun stat of the week. We'll do this moving forward. We'll try and make them all fun like this, but I like having a little throwback aspect to the locals in the NFL, because we talk about the current guys, but sometimes the former guys are. It's fun to go retro on this. So
local maybe, throwbacks.
Maybe we'll do that moving forward as well.
Here's one more real quick at you, and it's not a stat, but just a tidbit. The Broncos broke a 14 was it 14, 15, 16 game losing streak against the Chiefs, whatever it was. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since they won the Super Bowl in 2015 when I covered them. The last time they beat the Chiefs, Alex Smith was the starting quarterback for Kansas City.
Yeah, Alex Smith versus Peyton Manning. So that's a throwback.
It's been a while.
To you. Both of those guys are out of the league and have been out of the league for 2-3 years now. So crazy. My gosh, that's wild. That good on your Broncos, Sam. And how about Garrett Bowles coming off the field?
Yep.
Just all hyped up. That was awesome. Congrats to Garrett. He had a good game.
Him.
Good for them and the Broncos. My goodness. All right, Sam, before we wrap this up, game of the week next week for you. Who do you got?
Kyle, you know how I hate those early morning Sunday Europe games. But holy cow, how do we not wake up for the Dolphins and Chiefs at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday? I'll tell you this, I can already promise you, that when I wake up Sunday morning, it won't be to watch the Chiefs. I've got some other things I have to take care of, but that's a great matchup. Unfortunately, it's at a time where I probably won't be watching. So that's not going to be the game I'm going to pick this week. I'm going with the Bills and Bengals. It kind of feels like the Bengals might be back. They might be returning to that, maybe Super Bowl contender, but this is going to be a game that's going to really kind of iron that out a little bit. Is it the Bills? Is it the Bengals? Who's going to be one of those front runners in the AFC?
I like it. Sunday Night Football on KSL 5 TV at 6:20 p.m. on Sunday, November 5th. Sam, I'm also going primetime. I'm going Monday Night Football. You got the Chargers at the New York Jets. Ooh. I like it. I think that is a very fun matchup. Chargers coming off a big win on Sunday Night Football. And I want to see if they keep it rolling against a good Jets defense. I want to see if Zach Wilson can follow up another primetime game like he did against the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football a few weeks ago with a Monday Night Football performance against a Chargers defense that has some players on it, but I think is able to be exploited maybe on the outside. Unfortunate for a guy like Michael Davis, former BYU corner, but I feel like he's been getting picked on, and I want to see if the Jets try and take advantage of those safeties. They've had some injuries there. Lohi Gilman's been banged up the last few weeks. And so I think it's an interesting matchup. Both teams are kind of coming into that game feeling good about themselves. So want to see how that game plays out on Monday Night Football.
Good pick. Zach Wilson in primetime. All right, Kyle. That's it. I think that's it this week. Am I wrong? Are we missing something?
No, that's it.
Pretty good week. Lot going on.
I feel like that was the most jam-packed week we've had so far this season. Sam, I was dead yesterday after I like got done working. I was like, I am tired. Like that was a long day yesterday. So we still have Monday Night Football tonight. We got the Lions and the Raiders. So a couple local guys, one on either side tonight. So got Penei Sewell and Andre James, both offensive linemen for their respective teams. So that'll be fun tonight. But Sam, what can you tease as far as KSL Sports Live this week before we say goodbye?
KSL Sports Live, you can watch it streaming on the KSL TV app and or live on your television, KSL Channel 5, the NBC affiliate in Salt Lake City, Utah. We will have a jam-packed show again this weekend with lots and lots of football. That's all we do this time of year because we still have high school playoffs going on. 4A, 5A, 6A in the quarterfinals. The classifications below that are in the semifinals. And then the Utes, Cougars, Aggies, all in action. Can BYU become bowl eligible with a big road game at West Virginia? Utes at home. Are they at home? They're on the road, I think. Arizona State. I don't know, but they're playing Arizona State. Can they bounce back? We'll have it all this weekend, as well as all the NFL coverage, too. And the Jazz. Right. I know this is an NFL podcast, but we got the Jazz too.
Hey, this is the time of the year, Sam. I love this time of year. I love
it's great. World
October,
Series.
October to February. It's awesome because you have everything.
Yep.
You've got baseball wrapping up, soccer wrapping up, hockey and basketball getting underway. Football is in the heat of things, and it's awesome. It's great. It's the best time to be a sports fan.
Beautiful. Good deal.
All right, Sam. Well, that was awesome, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle. That was a good time once again, and we'll be back in next week. That's it. That's it for you. That's it for me. I don't normally sign out, but I'm doing it this time, Kyle. We'll see you next week on the Yards After College podcast.